Okay, so I'm Brenda Carter. This is Joe Davies.
Hello, good morning and welcome.
We are technical writers for Microsoft. In the few minutes, I've already made a mistake. In the few minutes that we have with you today, we're going to show you a set of resources that we call our Cloud Adoption Kickstarter set. These are highly curated, very visual, compact pieces of content that you can use with your teams back at home. They include top adoption themes, foundation concepts, and lots of help with those first architecture decisions that you'll need to make as you adopt applications across the cloud. You can find them all at this URL. This is our TechNet page, aka.ms/cloudarc. This first one I'm going to show you, this is a poster. It's a representation of all of our cloud services across all the categories of cloud. It's probably the most concise representation. It's a good resource to use with your team at home to familiarize yourself with the breadth of the cloud. It is categorized by service types, so SaaS, PaaS, IaaS, and private cloud. It includes the core capabilities under each category, and it also lists the solutions that are best fits under each category. So it's a good way to point your teams in the right direction for solutions that you're working on today. Across the bottom is a case study from our MSIT team, our Microsoft IT team, on how they approached cloud adoption. I'm going to drill in on one of these illustrations here. So this is our Microsoft IT hybrid environment for all of Microsoft. It's actually a good representation of what any large organization looks like when you start to adopt applications across the cloud. So we kind of think of it as a three-phase approach. You may do it in a different order, but in general, what we're seeing is that customers start by moving productivity workloads into the SaaS category. So Office 365 is a really good example of that. This frees up your IT team to work on applications that are more strategic to your business. So the next step is that those new development modern applications are developed directly in the PaaS category. This is where you can take advantage of those cloud native capabilities like elasticity, big data, and analytics. And then finally, if you have applications on premises today that you need to move to the cloud for whatever reason, these can slide into VMs in the IaaS environment. That's exactly what this environment is for. So here's a representation of what your environment can look like with applications spread across the different categories of our cloud. Joe and I are going to build on this as we go. So the first building block for cloud integration is identity. So I've got this identity layer across the bottom. When you adopt Office 365, you inherit an industry-leading IDaaS provider, Identity as a Service provider, and Azure Active Directory. And you get help from our fast track team setting that up. And once you're set up, you have your own directory. This same directory can be used to authenticate to applications in all categories of our cloud. It can even be used to authenticate to applications that you might have with other cloud providers, such as Amazon Web Services. So Azure Active Directory includes a full set of enterprise-grade capabilities. I don't expect you to be able to read this map, but it's in the content set. It's a really good resource to use with your teams to go over the capabilities and prioritize. When you adopt Office 365, you're on your way with two of these capabilities, integration with your on-premises directory. You'll also experience those capabilities and features within Office 365 that are integrated deeply with Azure Active Directory. Some of the next capabilities that customers implement are multi-factor authentication, device management, either with Intune or the features that are built in to Office 365. Those are all provided by Azure Active Directory. And then also integration with other SaaS applications. Let's talk about that last one. So I bet your organizations are already using a good number of SaaS applications. With Azure Active Directory, you can configure single sign-on to all those applications in your environment. This greatly simplifies the management of identity. The Active Directory marketplace includes thousands of SaaS apps that are already pre-integrated. And so by doing this, you can manage all your identities in one place, and you can apply the same set of security and access policies to all the applications across your entire environment. On the right side, here's what your users get Not only do they get single sign-on, which should work pretty seamlessly for them, but they can go to their My Apps panel at myapps.microsoft.com, see all the applications they're provisioned for, and get to them from there. So just two more capabilities that I want to highlight. Azure B2B collaboration allows you to collaborate with your business partners without having to add their identities to your directory. And then Azure B2C collaboration makes it super easy to manage millions of customer and consumer identities. So you can get more information on all these capabilities, plus lots of help with those architecture decisions you'll need to make for identity integration by looking at this Cloud Identity for Enterprise Architects mini poster set as part of our collection. The first page includes that map I just showed you, and every item on there clicks to more information. Okay, so the second step for cloud adoption is security. So have you heard anything about security yet at this conference? It seems like every session has some security in it. Cloud security is a partnership. Microsoft excels at its responsibility of providing secure cloud services. And then you, as customer, have responsibility to secure your data, your devices, and your identities. And if you're working in the PaaS and IaaS categories, you have a bit more responsibility. We have help for you. This cloud security mini poster set is a roadmap of all the responsibility up and down the stack with links to more information. If you're working with Office 365, we have even more help. This information protection poster includes all of the capabilities. I'm going to show you how this piece works. So here's the top of the poster. This is a recommendation from our cybersecurity consulting team. They recommend that customers start by categorizing your data. They suggest three categories as a good start, especially if you don't already have predefined categories. And in fact, three might actually be all that you need, because here's what they recommend. First, establish a minimum criteria for all data that applies to all the data in the organization. Second, find your sensitive data and apply a bit more security to that data. And then third, find your highest value assets and apply the most security to that data. So the poster includes an example of how that can work, but the bulk of the poster is this grid of information protection capabilities. This is the concise representation of everything you can do with Office 365, includes all capabilities across our product set. And so here's how it works. Remember those three categories? Some of these capabilities apply broadly and can be used to raise that minimum standard for your organization. Multi-factor authentication is a good example of one of those. You can see when I blow up this card, you get links to more information, and more importantly, it's keyed up with a product key, so you know right away whether you have the license for that capability. Okay, the second category, remember your sensitive data. Some of these controls can be targeted to specific data sets, and RMS is a good example. So a couple of capabilities there. And then finally, if you have high-value assets or asset data that is subject to strict compliance regulations, you'll probably want to look on the right-hand side of this grid, and customer lockbox for Office 365 might be what you need. So this grid is organized by row by scenario. To the left are capabilities we recommend you start with, and to the right are more advanced capabilities. So it's a great way to review all the offerings with your team and prioritize. Okay, so you can get more information on how to approach security with all categories of our cloud by looking at this asset here. This is our Cloud Security for Enterprise Architects mini poster set. And so now that I've talked to you about the identity layer, and I've also shown you some of the resources to help you with security, I'm going to hand you off to Joe.
Good morning. Our next building block is networking. More specifically, what we're talking about here is the optimization and integration of your network to the cloud. So why is this important? Well, cloud computing represents a fundamental difference in the way that your network traffic travels to get to your productivity applications. How so? Well, draw close, dear friends, and pay heed, and you shall be witnesses. So before the cloud, you've done a great job of optimizing the traffic from your end users to your on-premises data centers, because that's where your productivity applications were located. And really, internet access was for your employees to check their Facebook page and do online shopping while they're working. But in a cloud-inclusive infrastructure, some of those applications and productivity workloads are now running in data centers across the internet. So you need to pay equal attention to optimizing your traffic from your internet locations to your internet edge, through your internet pipe, and then across the internet to those locations. Now, let's take a look at what's inside this internet pipe. This is typically what we call a DMZ or a screen subnet. And it contains things like firewalls and proxy servers, and maybe even servers that expose workloads to internet users, all of which is connected to the internet using some sort of WAN link to an ISP. Now, for the best experience and performance to the Microsoft Cloud offerings, you need to ensure that the items in the DMZ through which the traffic travels, specifically the firewalls and proxy servers, are optimized for performance and throughput. Now, if your organization needs a private path over which your cloud traffic must travel, or predictable performance across the internet, you can use something called ExpressRoute, which is a dedicated WAN connection to the actual Microsoft Cloud itself. So you're completely bypassing the internet. Now, what's interesting about a single ExpressRoute connection is that it actually supports three different logical connections called peering relationships to different parts of the Microsoft Cloud. Now, this is a border gateway protocol peering relationship where we exchange routes. So each one of these peering relationships is a set of routes exchanged so that you can get traffic out to the cloud offerings and get traffic back from them. Now, ExpressRoute comes in two different flavors. The ExpressRoute is basically, again, a dedicated WAN connection to a Microsoft peering location, which gets you to the Microsoft Cloud network and all the data centers in the same continent. So it's an intracontinental Microsoft Cloud network connection. Now, if you're a multinational with cloud offerings all over the place and SaaS or PaaS applications spread all over the place, you can get what is called ExpressRoute Premium. ExpressRoute Premium connection will get you to the entire Microsoft global cloud network, sort of an intercontinental Microsoft Cloud network connection. Okay, so for all of the details of this, more details about ExpressRoute, step-by-step instructions on how to optimize your traffic path if you're going over the internet, as well as a detailed step-by-step method for designing and deploying a workload in Azure IaaS, please see the Microsoft Cloud Networking for Enterprise Architects mini poster. Now, our next building block is storage. Okay, so storage is fast and easy to deploy. It's relatively cheap. You can scale it all over the place. What's really great about it is there's no hardware to maintain or migrate and so on. But why is it important to talk about it separately? Well, Microsoft has done a great job of providing a whole bunch of different storage options for you. We have multiple storage options for our multiple cloud offerings. And you need to understand the landscape of what all those cloud storage offerings are so you can make the right decision for your solution. Now, we've come up with one way to categorize them, or actually Brenda has. So we're using a construction analogy. We call this set of cloud options move-in ready cloud storage. And it's just like it sounds. These are storage solutions that are built into the services that require little or no configuration in order to run. So we've got you can see all our SaaS offerings being represented up here. Great examples are mailbox storage and Exchange Online, or storing files in OneDrive. These are ready to go, built in, and there's nothing really to do here. Now, let's say you're building an app or a solution, and you want a larger, something that isn't provided by those built-in services. Well, you can do what is called a some assembly required cloud storage offering. Now, this could be the central point of storage for your app or the starting point for your app, but these are facilities, typically in Azure PaaS, that allow you to build in the storage option into your app that requires additional configuration or coding. Now, here's a quick example. You want to be able to stream corporate videos to mobile users wherever they are. So you build out Azure Media Services, you store your videos out there, and then you code the app to go up securely to Azure Media Services and download, stream, and play the video on the smartphone on behalf of the user. Now, build from the ground up cloud storage is what it sounds like. These are the fundamental services upon which all the other cloud options are based. So these are, the fundamental building blocks of this building block, if you will. So if you have a storage need that isn't provided by the other sets of storage options, then you can build one from scratch using one of these options here. So for additional details on all of these different storage options, including technical features, best uses, links to more information, and cost information, please see the Cloud Storage for Enterprise Architects mini poster. Now, our last building block is the one that really completes our story and shows the integration across the board, which is hybrid, which we define as a combination of on-premises and cloud-based storage or compute resources. So why is this important? Well, your organization has probably created a huge investment in on-premises applications or data, and they're going to continue to use those for the foreseeable future. So the ability to leverage the on-prem data or applications and combine them with cloud-based services allows you to do some very interesting things and let you be nimble and competitive. Now, one way to see the sort of unique advantages and integration of the Microsoft Cloud is through this diagram here called the Cloud Stack, or the Hybrid Cloud Stack, where we start at the bottom with on-premises storage, go through the various layers, and end up with apps and scenarios at the top for the different categories of cloud services. Now, one of the things you'll see is layers, that the identity and network layers, which were building blocks 1 and 3 of this presentation, respectively, are common to all of our Microsoft Cloud offerings. Now, this common infrastructure lets you build out a rich set of SaaS, PaaS, and IaaS-based hybrid scenarios. Let's take a quick look at some of these. So SharePoint, Skype for Business, and Exchange Hybrid are a combination of a set of servers running those traditional workloads on-prem combined with their corresponding service in Office 365. Now, the combination allows users to be either on-prem or in the cloud and communicate and collaborate as if they were on the same unit. And what this allows you to do is take your on-prem users that are hosted on an on-prem Skype and host them in the cloud and migrate them over time on your schedule. Now, hybrid for Azure PaaS is a combination of some sort of app running in Azure PaaS, and it's utilizing some sort of on-premises data. So here we have a custom mobile app that's securely querying a line of business app for employee information for mobile users that are on the run, okay? Hybrid for Azure IaaS is a set of servers, a line of business application running on traditional servers, except those are virtual machines running in Azure IaaS and a virtual network and connected transparently back to your network, effectively extending your on-premises data center. So for additional details, including more information on each one of these scenarios, please see the Hybrid Cloud for Enterprise Architects mini poster. And I'll go ahead and hand it back over to Brenda for the wrap-up.
You keep that. Okay. So we've shown you a tour of our cloud, how to integrate with identity, optimize with networking. We've shown you how to approach storage and security, giving you the lowdown on hybrid. We hope you'll use these resources. Here's our TechNet page. Next slide, please. We have also built a beautiful Sway that you can use with your teams back at home. It includes all these resources and more, lots of help with the architecture decisions. And before we let you go, we have a special treat just in time for the holidays. We have a cloud adoption case study for you.
A very specific and we hope a very interesting cloud adoptions case study. It was almost October, and up at the pole, the diligent elves were not reaching their goal. The IT department was working nonstop. A request for help flew to the guy at the top.
The CEO leader, with a beard white and thick, you'd know in an instant it must be St. Nick. He stood at the meeting and clearly avowed,
"More than ever this year, we're all in the cloud. On Azure, on Intune, on SharePoint Online. Big data, cloud storage, we've got a deadline. To the edge of the network, because of the cloud, we'll work smarter and faster. We'll make ourselves proud."
To help Santa sort out who's naughty or nice, to check the list once, then check the list twice, he uses an engine that gets all the posts from the kids on the net, the praises, and the roasts.
With BI conclusions that duly suggested, the elves knew which toys kids always requested. With Dynamics 365, they worked with their partners to create classic gifts for the world's kindergartners.
The letters were coming increasing each day, entreating the toys to be packed on the sleigh. All Santa's helpers in department store booths sent their requests from many small youths. Letters to emailsanta.com, IMs and texts from Paris to Guam. All of the data fed into a lake so the elves could decide which new toys to make. Based on the letters and the latest toy tweets, from a cuddly bear to an Xbox Elite, the elfish toy managers had to adjust. This wasn't a problem, for the cloud is robust.
The N flag is used for each child to track whether naughty or nice and whether to pack the gifts they desired that they wanted to see on that special morning under their tree. The word was given, the time had arrived. For each child's N flag, its value derived. Two processing pipelines churned on command and determined its state with a logical AND.
His team, how they cheered. They met all their goals, rejoicing. They danced around white snowy knolls. The IT department high-fived with both hands. The cloud was elastic. It met their demands. Packed in a sleigh with his new Surface Book, reins in his hand, to the air reindeer took. With a smile on his face, he shouted aloud,
"Thanks to the elves and the Microsoft cloud."
So, Brenna and I are very proud to announce the Santa Cloud, a new cloud adoption and example implementation poster. As an in-person attendee of this session, you get a printed copy, so come on up after the session and let us know what you think with a quick email to cloudadopt@microsoft.com. And please take a moment to fill out the evaluation for this session. We'd love to know what you thought and how we can improve going forward. Thank you all very much for your time this morning.
Hey.